I'm not preaching about divine healing this morning, necessarily, but I am preaching about divine healing this morning. And I want you to know that God is a healer.
Oh, yes.
And we have a lot of people in our church, in our families, who need healing. And I'm believing God this morning that we are going to see some manifested healings in this service. I mean, see it. See some healings in this service to where you know there is a change. Can you believe with me for that? Especially if you're sick. Can you believe that if you're going through something this morning? I want you to raise your faith level. Because I believe God's going to do something. Now, I might have to tear you down before I build you back up again. Because God tore me down this week. And he really began to speak some things to me. And I had to go through a time of repentance, time of conviction. But oh, it's so good. When God deals with your heart and begins to show you what is thus saith the Lord. So this morning I'm talking about a preparation for an outpouring, part two. If you were here last week, you remember an outpouring is very simple. This is an outpouring. Pouring out. We're believing God for an outpouring. We're believing God to pour out his spirit. We are believing God for an outpouring. But here has been my challenge. The Holy Spirit has challenged me. Because as we prepare for an outpouring, we pray for a visitation. We pray, God, come, and we want your presence in this house. The Lord has challenged me with something that I've never really thought about. You don't want a visitation if your heart is not ready and prepared, and you're not ready to go with God during that visitation. He challenged me to stop praying for revival until we're ready for revival. Do you know if the presence of God swept in here this morning? And your heart is hard and crusty and filled with junk. Do you know you'd be in danger?
Yeah, you're right. Amen.
And here I have been praying for revival, praying for revival. And there's been times that God has spared me. So last week we talked about preparation for an outpouring. And before I get into the message, I do want to thank you, Pastor, for the 35-year. Tomorrow, Brooks and I will be married 35 years. And I'll tell you what, it has been the joy of my life to have such a godly woman who cares about me and loves me.
Amen.
It has been a joy. I had spilled some stuff yesterday in our bathroom, and I was cleaning it up, and I found this note that she had left me. She was going to a pastor's wife's conference, and so out of state, and so she left me this note. And it just touched my heart, because in the note, basically, she said, David, I'm going to miss you every day that I'm gone. And I'm going to be praying for you, and I love you, and I can't wait to get home so we can have adventures in God together. And that's just pretty much sums up the love that we have for each other.
Amen.
And I'm so very thankful and grateful. And God, I thank you for my wife, and for 35 years.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you, I cannot do this without you.
Nope.
As the word came forth, Lord, you know there's faith and fear, and I can't walk in fear of a man.
Nope.
I have to walk in faith. I have to say what you've told me to say. But God, I need you. I need you. I need you. I can't do this without you. Because I will be afraid of man. Because I will walk in fear of man in my flesh. And I want to be obedient to you. So Lord, help me. Help me to speak the truth in love. And help us, Father, to see an outpouring in this service. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Last week, we talked about preparation for an outpouring. And we talked about the three things that we needed to do. The first thing was we had to realize our need to become empty vessels. And the second thing was we had to realize what Jesus, our high priest, had done for us. And the third thing was we had to realize that God longs for unity in his church. And that's where we ended last week. And that's all the time I have to spend on that. And we ended reading Psalm 131, verse 1, and it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." And it talks about how it's like the oil that ran down Aaron's head and his beard and down his garments. And it says that's where the Lord commandeth the blessing, even for life forevermore. But today, I want to move to part two. And if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll give you a moment to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. So Paul, writing to the church, said this: "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Listen at verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Paul said this, he says, "Now I praise you, brethren." Paul was happy. He said, "Now I praise you, brethren." He's writing to the church, his brothers and sisters, to the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, the deacons of the church, to all of those in the church who were doing ministry out in the communities and going and doing ministry inside the church. Paul was very happy with them. And he said, "I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." He said, "All the things I told you to do, you're doing it. You're doing such a great job, church at Corinth. I'm so proud of you." And then he goes on to talk about head covering, and in verses 17, up down to verse 17, he's talking about the head covering. He's talking about authority. We're not going to read all of that. But verse 2, 1 Corinthians 11, 2, this is what Weymouth says. He says, "Now I commend you for remembering me in everything, and because you hold fast truths and practices precisely as I have taught them to you." I mean, they were the letter of the law. The leaders in that church were saying, "This is how we're going to water baptize. This is how we're going to do all these things that Paul told us to do." And Paul said, "Good job." And then we get to verse, if you skip down to verse 17, after he's talked about the head covering and all of that, then he wants to talk about the Lord's Supper. And he gets to 1 Corinthians 11, 17, and Paul says this: "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." And this is why he said, "All these things you're doing so well. You're going out and you're preaching and you're teaching and you're serving and you're doing such a wonderful job doing all the things that I told you to do. He said, but in this thing, I'm giving you zero praise. On the report card of how you follow this ordinance, I give you an F. He said, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together. Listen at this, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, this is the body of Christ. This is the church. And who is he talking to? The church at Corinth. He's talking to the members, the missionaries, the deacons, the elders, the ushers, the musicians, the worship leaders, the assistant pastor. He's talking to all of them. And he said that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, that sounds like some of my family when they're talking to the kids. First of all, you're not going to come in here talking to me like that. Paul said, first of all, when you come together in the church, when you come together in your church, they were coming together in fellowship. They were celebrating with each other. They were remembering what the Lord had done. They were celebrating with a meal, a feast, an agape, a love feast. And they were coming together to eat and enjoy each other's fellowship and company and love each other and celebrate all that God had done. And when they came together, there was no distinction between who was in the church. There was to be no distinction, no matter what race or color or creed or how much money you had, or if you didn't have anything, or if you were bond or free or a slave or a servant or whoever you were, when you came into the church, you came together to fellowship together and enjoy a meal together. But he said, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. So for Paul to say, I partly believe this, like, you know, I don't know if I want to believe this. This can't be right. Wait, this is the church. This is the church. And I'm getting reports that there are divisions in the church. Anybody ever been in a church where there was divisions before? I remember my son and I, we found the perfect church. I'm telling you, it was perfect.
Until y'all went.
It was perfect. Sister Diane, you don't have to be that hard on me, you know. We went to this country church. It was the church I had grew up in as a little boy, which I didn't go to, but it was the church that I grew up in. And it was abandoned. And there was nobody there, Sister Diane. It was the perfect church. Until I stepped foot in it. Then the perfection left. I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. You know, when you come to church, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, come unto me all, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You remember that scripture, anybody? He said, come unto me all. Remember that scripture? I think it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. I mean, the church is for all. We're all to come together, no matter what, no matter what you look like, what you drive, what you have, what you don't have, where you work, where you live, if you've been to jail, if you've, I don't care what it is, the church is for you. Jesus says, come unto me. I don't care. Come unto me. If you're weary, come to me and you will find rest. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's what was going on. You had the church coming together. And then in verse 18, it says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Verse 19, and there must also be heresies among you. Or another way you can say this is, there must also be factions and divisions and disunion among you. You have divided groups within the church, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So everybody wasn't in on this game of being divided. Some people loved as they were supposed to love. Some people did what they were supposed to do. And see, in verse 20 it says, when you come together therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Man. Paul is not playing games. Amen. Because they came together to eat the Lord's Supper. That's why they were there, to have this agape, have this fellowship, this love feast. And then they were going to stop and break bread and remember what Jesus had did for them. And Paul said, I don't know what you're doing, but you're not celebrating the Lord's Supper. You're doing something else. He said, verse 21, for in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunk. See, this was the first day of the week. And so this wasn't the Sabbath day. This was the first day of the week. And so people worked. You had working people. You had people who came to this agape who had money. They drove up in their fancy chariot and horse, and they got there early, and they had plenty of food, had the spread, had the wine. I mean, the good stuff. You know, the stuff that y'all sneak and drink when pastor's not looking. They had that good wine. And so then you would have the next class of folks come in, and they might have just gotten off work, and so they're tired, but they bring their food and they bring their drink. And then you have the next class, maybe 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, they would come, and they just got off work, but they didn't hardly have anything to eat. And then dragging up the rear, you might have the servants and slaves who had been working all day long and didn't have anything. And they came to celebrate the Lord's Supper just to get there, expecting to find some food, a love feast, fellowship, acceptance, and embrace. Come on in, brother and sister, there's plenty. And what did they find? Paul said, for in eating, everyone takes before other, before anybody else could get there. They were like, baby, give me some of that. Give me some of that lamb. Give me some of that bread. Give me that fish. Hurry up before those other people get here. And they started drinking and having a good time. And then by the time those that got there that didn't have anything, Paul said it was nothing left. He says, for in eating, everyone takes before other his own, and one is hungry and another is drunk. That was the attitude in the church that was going on. Did I mention that was in the church?
Amen.
Oh, okay. Okay. Amen. And this is what Paul said, 11:22. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God? Do you know when Paul asked the question, do you despise the church of God? He wasn't pointing at this beautiful Ephesus on the hill somewhere. Do you know who the church is, where the church is? Do you know if this building wasn't here and we were outside on the grass, do you know we still be having some church this morning?
Amen. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Still be the church.
He said, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? The servants would walk in, the poor would walk in, and they would have nothing, and they would look around, and the food is consumed, the drink is gone, and it's time for the Lord's Supper, and there's a couple of drunk guys staggering out because they've had enough. And Paul say, do you despise the church of God? Is that how you feel about your brothers and sisters? And this is what he says. Have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I give you no praise. I give you an F minus on your how to treat your brother and sister report card.
Amen.
Yes. Now remember who he was talking to? He was talking to the leaders, the deacons, the elders, the singers, the musicians, the congregation, the church. Everybody. He didn't exclude anybody. And he said, shall I praise you in this? Well, Paul, wait a minute. Do you know how much money I gave to the church? Well, Paul, do you know that I'm actually going out and witnessing to people? Well, Paul, do you know that I'm feeding the hungry? Well, Paul, do you know how many people I got saved on my job? Well, Paul, do you know all the great things that I'm doing in the name of God? Paul said, shall I praise you for anything? I praise you not. I praise you not. Well, Paul, I'm a deacon. Well, Paul, I'm an elder. Well, Paul, I'm a worship leader. Well, Paul, hang on a second. You don't understand. Time out. Don't you understand what I do? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Do you know what we need in the church today? We need an outpouring of love and respect for the body of Christ. That's what we need in the church today. You cannot minimize the importance of just treating people right. Do you know how big that is in the eyes of God? I've been a missionary for 20 years, but I don't know how to treat people right. I've been a preacher for 40 years, but I don't know how to treat people right. I've been a worship leader for the last 10 years, and we've had 6 albums come out. How do you treat the church of God? How do you treat God's children? Yeah. You know, Paul was telling them, you know, you're doing such a great job. You're doing such a great job in verse 1. Oh, I just can't help but praise you. You're keeping all the ordinances, doing all this stuff well. But Paul had a sneak attack. He was like, yep, you're doing great. You're doing great. I really commend you for all these good things, but I need to tell you the truth about something. You know, I got to give you a quick testimony about my life. I remember growing up, didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot. And I didn't wear the best clothes. I didn't wear the best shoes. As a matter of fact, I remember when these Converse shoes came out with the little star on the shoes. And I remember that was the big deal. And they came out and they had a leather Converse and they were $50. A whole $50. I can barely go buy a Snickers and pack of gum and Coke for $50 today, but I remember thinking there is no way I'll ever be able to buy a pair of Converse like that. And I remember the kids that had them at school, man, they were something else. Everybody looked up to them. They were wonderful. And here I am with my old shoes on, old clothes on, got some snickering behind my back sometimes. And do you know what I learned how to do? I learned how to get revenge. You know how I got it? I learned how to tear those school kids down with my tongue. And I would go and talk about people so bad. Oh, my God. When I think about it, I think, how could I have ever been that guy? But when I looked in the mirror, I saw pain. When I looked in the mirror, there was pain in my heart. There was brokenness inside of me. And I lashed out on anybody who would dare come to me with some foolishness like, you're going to talk about me? Let me show you something. Baby, let me tell you something about you. I would curse them. I made up curse words. I'm serious. I am so embarrassed to tell you this. I would make up stuff just to hurt people. And I know I inflicted pain. I know I wounded those school kids. I know I said things that followed them and carried them past high school, and I have prayed for them. I have repented of that. Amen. December the 10th, 1984, I gave my heart to Jesus. He came and he loved me and he saved me. And do you know, like a drug addict, like an alcoholic, he delivered me, and I never spoke that way again. Amen. The cussing was gone. Thank you, Jesus. The talking bad about people was gone. When I got saved, he drug that demon out of me, and he set me free. Yes, thank you. But do you know now? I'm like that guy who was hooked on crack. And you offer me some. I'm going to look at you like you are trying to kill me. I'm like that alcoholic who used to drink and just barely got off with my life. And I'm free now. And you come and offer me a drink. I'm going to look at you like you're trying to kill me, because you are. Because you're trying to drag me back into a lifestyle that God delivered me from. That's why I cannot stand it when people talk bad about other people. Because that was me. I was that guy. I was the one doing that. But God delivered me, and you will not drag me back down that road to hell where I was going with my life. The devil had my tongue. He stole my gift, and he used it for his glory. But when God set me free, now I'm using my tongue for his glory. Now I'm building up people. Now I'm speaking life. Now I'm speaking healing and wholeness to people. That gives you a little glimpse into my past, and it lets you understand why when I read stuff like this, where it makes my hair stand up on my head. Can you see it this morning? The devil used my gift as a weapon against those that I was supposed to be loving and using my gift to help. And you know the devil's plan for any church in America, any church in the world, is to get people distracted with quarreling and fighting and division among each other. That's his plan. The easiest thing to do, this is the easiest thing to do, is to get mad and get into a fight with somebody. That's so easy. Do you know what the hardest thing is to fix? Is to get mad and get into a fight with somebody. So easy to start that fire, but boy, when that inferno gets going, it's so hard to put it out. And if the devil can't get you mad at somebody in church, then he will start messing with your household. He'll start messing with your family. Oh, I'm good at church, but when you go home, that's when the devil comes out. And you look great in church. Look what I'm doing. Hey, everybody, look at all the great things I'm doing. But when you go home, you're a demon. And if he can't break up your home, he'll mess with your job. He'll mess with your neighbors. About a month ago, I was at home mad at my neighbors, not knowing which one, but one of their dogs was pooping in my yard. Can we just be real? You can ask my wife. I'm out cutting grass and like, oh, another one? Another gift? I don't even believe in the Easter bunny. Why is all this stuff in my yard? Mad at the, don't know which neighbor it is. I'm just mad at all of them. Neighbors come out of the house waving, forget you. I need an outpouring. God convicted me so bad. David, you're letting a dog steal your joy. You're letting a dog steal your joy. Here's my last thing. If he can't get you at church, if he can't get you at home, if he can't get you on your job, if he can't get you in your neighborhood, the devil will bring somebody in your life to bring their drama in your life. Can I preach, or do I need to go sit down and we just sing another couple of songs? I got a drama test for you. I got three questions for you. Three simple questions. Here's how you know if somebody's messing with your joy, your peace, that shouldn't be messing with your joy and your peace. Here's question number one. Are you mad at or dislike people who you don't even interact with or don't even know personally? That means somebody's bringing, if you are, somebody's bringing their mess into your house, into your circle. Have you ever been mad at somebody before? Look, I've had people come to me, Pastor David, yeah, what's going on? You can't believe what this guy at work did to me. And when they start telling me, I'm mad at this guy, Joe, who I never met before. Don't even know anything about him. Don't know what he looks like, where he lives, what he does. I'm just mad at Joe. Just bringing their drama into my circle. I guess I'm the only one that's ever gone through this one. But I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to ask you another question. Are you, question number two, are you constantly hearing about things that other people are doing that have absolutely nothing to do with you? Anybody? I see a couple of honest heads shaking. And if so, is this robbing you of your peace and causing confusion in your home? And here's question number three. Are the people who are bringing you the outside drama also admitting to what they may have done to cause the drama in the first place? And the answer is no. No. I'm going to move on. Ephesians chapter 6 says this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of your husband. You better stop laughing. He's right back there. That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Church members, newsflash, your church members, your church family is not your enemy. Your brother and sister is not your enemy. Family members are not your enemy. Your neighbors, your co-workers, they are not your enemy. The wiles of the devil is your enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. He is the father of lies. He is the one who tries to steal, kill, and destroy. He is your enemy. You know something else? I can't find where Jesus told me or his disciples to go and you go fight people. I can't find that one. Well, Peter, James, John, you know what? When they were making preparation for the Passover and they were going to go into this city and James and John, you know, they told, you know, they were like, oh, we don't want you guys here. And James and John had a great idea. How about we call down fire from heaven? And Jesus said, you know what? That's tempting. No. He said, you know what? You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. You're saying you're serving me and love me, but right now you're hearing the devil. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. God does not equip us to stand against people. Can you find that in the whole armor of God? Where he wants you to go fight people with the armor. So here's the plot. Let me let you in on a secret. Here is the devil's plan. And when I tell you this, you're going to say, you know what? I never thought about it that way, but that makes so much sense. Here is his plan. He wants you fighting people in the flesh, because when you fight people in the flesh, it wears you down. It wears you down physically. It wears you down mentally. It wears you down emotionally. And as you fight people in the flesh, and he finally gets you worn down to where he comes in, and you too tired to even fight against the devil. How many tired folks do we have in the house today? You're tired because you're fighting the wrong enemy. You don't have to raise your hand, because I couldn't count that fast. The Bible tells us in Jude 1:20, it says, "Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." You see, when you fight in the Spirit, when you pray in the Spirit, when you go after the devil in the Spirit, it doesn't wear you down, it builds you up. Amen. When you fight in the Spirit, it builds you. You grow, you're stronger, you're energetic. But when you fight in the flesh, you are beat down, you're worn down, you're tired. You don't want to hear a whole sermon because you're too beat down. Yeah. Oh, is he through yet? Oh, I'm tired. Yeah, you're tired because you're fighting the wrong enemy. There is a scripture. I have to correct myself where God does tell us to fight the flesh. That's right. There is a scripture. Luke 9:23, Jesus did say it. Luke 9:23, I want you to turn there with me. I want you to see this. Jesus told us to go fight the flesh in this scripture. Luke 9:23. But keep your finger on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going back. Luke 9:23. This is what he said. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You are to go to war against your own flesh. Because when you open your eyes in the morning, your flesh is saying, "I need you to go to war with somebody. I need you to be mad at somebody. I need you to be aggravated at somebody." Your flesh says, "I wish they would say something to me at work. I wish he would come at me like that again." That's what the flesh is saying. "Please come at me again like that." The flesh is saying, "Oh, yeah, okay. You gonna tell me that? All right, well, let me tell you something." You wake up with an attitude. Yep. 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 And you know you do. Yep. And the flesh stays in attitude mode all day long until you get ready to go to bed at night. And then you dream about telling the boss off. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 23. Let's wind this down. 1 Corinthians 11:23. And then Paul's, Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do declare, you show, you tell about, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily or in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, he that eats and drinks, and you use your time to go after people, and you have unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, and you're not respecting your wife and your husband and your brothers and sisters, and you are at odds with everybody in your life, and you just can't get along with people, and you're always talking about people. Excuse me a second. I just need to preach about this for a second. And you don't know how to treat people. You don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to respect your own family. You can't respect your wife, your husband, your children. You talk bad about your pastor.
What?
Not that he don't ask for it from time. I mean, wait. I'm talking about this pastor, not that pastor. Not that pastor. This pastor. Oh, look at the, don't let the flesh come out, sister. Don't let the flesh, keep it down. Down, girl, down. For he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Look around, church, and take a good look at the Lord's body.
That's right.
Take a good look.
That's right.
All you online, you are the Lord's body. We are the Lord's body. This is the Lord's body. And if we disrespect each other, we are disrespecting the Lord's body. And here we are taking communion, saying, Lord, I thank you for your broken body, but we're disrespecting the body. And this is what he says. And he says, that there should be no, this is 1 Corinthians 12:25. Let me read this to you. That there be no schisms or splits or divisions or tears in the body. This is 1 Corinthians 12:25. He said, but there should be no splits, no division, no rips, no tears in the body of Christ. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one suffer, all the members suffer with it. If somebody comes up for prayer and they're sick, the whole body should surround them with prayer. And if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So go back to 1 Corinthians 11:29 as I try and land this plane, but it just won't drop out of the sky. 1 Corinthians 11:29. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Look at verse 30. For this cause, can I just be real for a second?
Yeah.
Because of this, Many are weak and sick, and some people have died because you plan with the Lord's body. Because you take in communion saying, Lord, I respect your broken body, but I dislike your body. Lord, I eat your body, but I dishonor your body because all I can do is talk about it and cause division in the body. Here's what I heard. Here's what I heard. And I want you to judge it. Pastor, judge this. I heard that there has been, this church has been under an attack because there has been members who have disrespected the body. And because of that, there has been sickness, and there's been disease, and there's been attacks against this church because there has been members of the church. Do you realize when you do something, it impacts the body? And there has been like an infection. And today, we're going to repent of this, and we're going to drive the infection out. And I believe that God is going to heal because we are going to take communion, and we're going to take it in a manner that is in love and deep respect for each other and care for each other. And if you have stuff in your heart, I got some advice for you. Get your heart right before you take communion.
Amen.
Get your heart right before you take it. If you got stuff in your heart against people, you need to get your heart right, or you're in danger of judgment. Father, you spoke this word to me so clear, and I thank you for allowing me to deliver it. Amen. Father, first of all, I repent. I repent, Lord, of anything that I have said or done to offend, hurt, wound anybody in this church. And Father, I pray today that this word sinks deep into the hearts of your people, because we're praying for an outpouring, and Lord, you are sending an outpouring, but Lord, don't send it if it has to come and judge us. Father, there have been voices in this body that has caused division, rips and tears in the body. There have been people in this church, Lord God, who have been speaking ill against your body. And I pray today that the conviction of the Holy Spirit, like an outpouring, would pour over us today. And those who have been at odds with their brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have been at odds with their families, their wives and husbands and children. Father, I pray that you would convict hearts even now. Lord, convict hearts. We pray, Holy Spirit, for your conviction. We don't shy away from it. Holy Spirit, please come and convict us in your grace and your mercy. Yes. And I pray that you would show each one of us people that we have not forgiven, people that we have animosity towards in our hearts, bitterness, resentment. Father, we want your blessing. We want your blessing, Lord. And I pray that you would move on the hearts of your people, that you would break those stony hearts, break hard hearts, open up their hearts to receive what your Spirit is showing them. Open up your heart. Open your heart this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and show you those times, show you that person, show you that instance. Help us to prepare our hearts for this time of communion. Help us to prepare our hearts, Father, as we prepare to remember your beaten, broken body, the body that was whipped, the body that had the crown of thorns nailed to your head. We remember the slaps and the punches and the beatings, Jesus, that you took for our sake. We remember your back being whipped and the flesh being torn and ripped apart for our sake because of our sin. We remember the nails being nailed into your hands and your feet. We remember the sword thrust in your side and the blood and the water gushing out because of what we have done, not because what you did, Lord. We were the guilty ones. Lord, forgive us when we talk about, when we hold grudges against those that you went to the cross and died for. Forgive us, Lord, for beating your body again. Forgive us, Lord, for talking about your body. Forgive us, Lord, for not discerning and not caring about your body, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask you, I ask you to forgive this church. Forgive us. Forgive us. Take away the reproach. Take away the reproach. Take away the reproach. Take away the judgment. Lord, let us walk in a new day. Let us walk forgiven and clean. Let this church learn to love each other. Let the members of this church learn to love each other like we've never loved each other before. Let this body come together like we've never come together before. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.